Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Tell powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. We traded Babs in.
I think we made a good trade.
We went country star.
Yep.
Ryan Hurd joins us in studio. What's up, brother?
I wasn't expecting to be on the radio today. I don't mind filling in.
Our average show height has gone way up with Babs out and Ryan in.
My man, I don't know that you know this. Ryan was a prolific baseball player. His brother told me. Ryan, you didn't tell me this, but your brother did.
I loved baseball. We played Class D baseball in Michigan for high school, and we really loved it. We have a lot of great stories.
How long was the season? 3 weeks?
Well, the problem wasn't the length of the season. The problem is that you start in February.
And what?
It's West Michigan, so it's 30 degrees outside, and you have to try to, I don't know. Actual baseball players have no sympathy for me, but that's my memory of it.
I've never been to Michigan, so how different geographically and weather-wise is West Michigan compared to, you know,
other Michigan?
Other parts of Michigan.
Yeah. It's cold. But the summers are beautiful. So, we live here, but go to Michigan, in the summers for, to go to the lake. And
what is summer there, 3 weeks in July?
It's literally from Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's 3 months. Exactly 3 months, and it's gorgeous. So that's why people live up there, is they brave the winter to have the summer.
So you grew up a Michigan fan. So JT in there is a big Ohio State fan. So that game did not go well
for you.
He
knows about that.
I know. Well, the problem with the Michigan team this year was they lost the first game, and you got down on them, and then they spent 10 weeks building up your hope. And you're I think we can actually do it. And then it was just getting hit by a truck. I still haven't
recovered from that. Every sports fan can relate to that. Yes. At some point during their team's history, they can relate to that.
I love the Titans and the Preds, and I love Michigan football, and it just... I still haven't recovered from it. I don't think I've watched a hockey game since. I think I've just completely checked out. So, but I'm going to the game tonight.
Can you expand on that?
Oh, man.
JT.
That's just salt, man. Salt on the wound.
At Ryan Hurd on Twitter. So, hey, man, when you walk around a radio station, you pop into a studio. So, let's just take calls. We're talking to Titans Giants.
All right, let's talk Titans Giants.
All right, Titans are a 2.5-point underdog. Then it went to 1.5 this morning. So a lot of people starting to believe in the two-tone blue. I think it's because they're wearing the light blue jerseys. Did you see that today?
I thought they were wearing the light blue pants.
Oh, they're wearing the light blue pants.
The white jersey since they're on the road. It's hard to see the numbers on the light blue jerseys, but you don't say light blue jersey in front of this guy down here. This is a major anti-light blue jersey guy.
He leads
that crowd.
I'm so pro the new uniforms. I think they're amazing. I think they're such a step up, and I know people don't like the numbers, and I love the navy, and I love the white. And then there's something about the powder blue, man.
Don't like the powder blue.
It doesn't really do it for me. And I don't mean to be critical, because I love the Titans, but man, it is tough to look at.
Well, hey, sometimes. You're doing sports talk radio right now, so you can be critical all you want.
I know, but see, here's the thing. Part of what we do is talk on the radio a lot, but I've never gotten to do it in a studio with jerseys on the wall and not talk about country music. So it's very fun to be here.
We could ask you about some country music if you want to talk about that. Yeah.
So what is a typical radio, So you just get on the phone and do a bunch of radio hits in a day? Do you set it up that way?
Sometimes we have phoners, and there's just a bunch of interviews right in a row with the stations and all over the country. But a lot of times when we're traveling, we go into the studio and have conversation like this, and sometimes we have to play a song live. And I mean, you just kind of get into a rhythm and you get used to it. It's really fun. It's just the thing about it is every person who does music in Nashville, it's part of the job. So you start to really enjoy it.
I wanted that job.
Yeah, sorry.
How many guys that you talk to are the wacky FM DJ? Hey, let's get back in with Ryan Hurd. What's that, Ryan? You've got a hit sound on the charts.
During the break, they're like, hey, Ryan, what's up, man? Yeah.
Some of them are like that, but most of them are normal and awesome. So it's just a really easy conversation. And most people in country music on the radio are really, really good at what they do. So
people should hear our voices during the break.
Yeah, we don't sound anything like this. It's for people. One thing about the people who work in country music, they love the music. The people who are the DJs and the people who spin those tunes,
oh, yeah.
They love the music and they love the people that make the music. That's always struck me about country radio.
That's the thing that you can always find in common with them too, is, is everybody got into this for the same reason, and that's because they love music. So whether you're playing it or you're on the radio spinning it, it's always like easy to find some common ground. I think it's probably the same thing with sports. Is like it's nice to have something that you can just automatically, you know, have in common with somebody, and I don't know, especially in a great sports town like Nashville, there's always something to talk about.
So the path I was headed down with your baseball exploits, he told me, your brother said, in your baseball career, one day you hit a grand slam, a three-run homer.
And a solo shot.
But you missed the two-run homer, but I think you hit a double off the wall or something.
I think I was like 4 for 5. This is like the greatest day of my sports life. Senior year. Had 7 RBIs.
Mary Marin, that's day one. And the day two is this day right here.
As an athlete, my senior year, I got a little bit bigger and could finally hit the ball over the fence, and I hit 3 home runs in one game, including a grand slam, and we lost.
Is that the point where you get the other guys in the locker room and you're like, hey, I did my part?
Yeah, to be honest, bro. I didn't care that we lost. I just hit 3 home runs.
Hit 3 bombs.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, that's full disclosure right there.
Yeah. It was fun, though. It was a great.
Did you consider trying to play at the next level? If you're out there hitting jacks and, 28-degree weather, surely somebody was interested in that. Ryan Hurd Express.
Honestly, that's kind of when I started getting into music. So yeah. I had, like, a buddy that went and played college baseball. He was a pitcher. I was a catcher, so... I just didn't really even look into it. I don't know if I was good enough, honestly, to do that or big enough, strong enough. So.
At what point did you decide to move here?
I went to school at Belmont and got a sociology degree there. And then...
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I asked you once about, so did you study music over at Belmont? You're like, man, I studied sociology.
I did. I loved school and I was going to go, I wanted to go to Michigan for grad school and I just couldn't pull the trigger on that and ended up starting to write songs with my buddies that were all here. I have a buddy named Aaron who moved down with me to go to Belmont and just kind of plugged in with him and all the guys that he was writing songs with and ended up, we all kind of came up in this town together and as songwriters first and then eventually ended up like pursuing my own project. So,
were you always, because as soon as I got a bass and I started to learn how to play, I was always in a band. Did you do the band thing at different times in your life?
Yeah, I was in a band in Michigan with my friend Aaron who's still here producing my records. In college, I was in a band for 6 months and we toured all summer and then we definitely quit that real quick. So,
okay.
Yeah. It was fun.
But any recordings still exist? What was the name of the band? Please tell me it was something awesome.
Our band in college was called Brantley. I don't think that any recordings are anywhere on the internet.
Sounds like the name of a house plan. Brantley has 4 bedrooms and 2.5 baths.
Well, my best friends are still one of my very best friends in the world I met through that band, and we still hang out, today. And, it's just cool. Like, sports and music, that's kind of given me, all that I have.
Dude.
All my friends and my job, and it's fun to get to do those things.
Do you know the last music-type guest we had that sat in that chair was Peter Frampton?
Oh. I bet people were way more excited about him.
I think they're very excited that you're here.
Ryan Hurd.
We haven't looked at Twitter yet.
Yeah, let's take some calls, man. Titans, Giants, gut check Thursday. What do you think happens on Sunday? 615-737-1045. Ryan Hurd happened to walk through the building, so he's in studio now. Matt is in Iowa. Matt, what's up?
Hey, I was just calling to reminisce on some of the cold Titans games we've been to.
Yeah, man.
So being from Iowa, the first game is the Kansas City game 3 years ago when Suckup kicked that crazy hard rock through the field goals to win that.
That was beautiful.
Then, of course, when I pick my trip to Nashville, I go to the Jaguars game New Year's Eve last year. Freezing cold, but another awesome win. And then being from Iowa, going back to KC last year in that cold AFC playoff game, I couldn't even have a beer without it freezing up cold, but it was fun afterwards.
Dude, you didn't drink it fast enough. What's wrong with you? Hey, you're from Iowa, man. Come on.
I even tried to get the Bud Diesel. And it still froze up pretty quick. So I had to resort to the hot cocoa with Fireball in it.
That's a gamer right there.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Yeah, see you guys. Thanks.
Hot chocolate with Fireball. I've never had that before.
Hot chocolate ball. That drink would have to have a name.
Is that a Michigan thing?
No, I'm trying to taste imagine what that would taste like. I don't think I can't even do it.
Might try that this weekend.
We're tequila people, so I don't know. I'm trying to think of what hot drink would go with tequila, but that I don't know about that.
What's your tequila of choice? We used to have the guy named Beverage. Well, we still have the guy named Beverage. Tito Beverage, who makes beverages.
He makes Tito's.
I don't know. I mean, I think Espolón is great. I think Casamigos is great.
I tried to tell you Don Julio is what I like.
I like Don Julio.
Yeah.
Reposado. I'm not too picky on it.
And Añejo.
We drink a lot of Corona and a lot of tequila on the road, though. That's kind of the go-to move.
All right. Hey, you've got some shows coming up, too, next year, right?
Yeah. Well, we have four that are booked. I'm playing L.A., Chicago, New York, and then Nashville. Nashville sold out in like 3 or 4 minutes, so that was pretty cool.
So
I'm going to go to the Chicago show. I just haven't told you that yet.
Okay.
All right. Hey, you guys are welcome to come to any shows you want. Seriously.
Hey, I'll roadie for you. I know how to plug
stuff.
Dude,
those are like four of the greatest cities in the country.
Yeah. I know. Well, we picked those just because I haven't ever played my own show. And so getting to like go do that stuff is really, I don't know. That's a dream come true.
You have to have enough of a catalog, though, to go in and play, you know, the length of show that they need you to play.
Yeah, but you've written so many songs.
That's the hard part.
Yeah.
We're working on that part.
But you can play any song that like any of these like Luke Bryan songs you wrote, right?
Yeah. I started in here writing songs for other people. So we play a lot of songs that I wrote for other, like we'll play the Luke song, play like I wrote You Look Good for Lady Antebellum. We'll play that one. And so that like eats up some time.
Our guy Dennis. But
people like hearing my version of it. I think that's what they've told me. So I
love how humble you are.
I enjoy it.
It's like we're tailgating at the Titans game the other day. And like, my wife has the back of the SUV open and she's playing like, Satellite Radio, Highway, whatever. And your song came on. And you're just throwing football at my kids. I'm like, dude, is this not weird that you're standing here and your song's on? He's like, yeah.
I've heard it before,
It's pretty cool.
It is cool, though. Every time your song goes on the radio. We have a rule between Maren and me that when your song's on the radio, you don't change the channel. Because I did that once. On my first ever like song that I had on the radio, it was getting played a lot. My first number one was Blake Shelton and Lonely Tonight. And they started spinning it so much that one day I just, without even thinking, just flipped the channel. And I was like, what did I do? So like I've worked my whole life to get on the radio, and I just changed my own song hit the preset. So whatever. Anyway.
Take off your makeup. Nobody's around. It's you and me, girl. Just let your guard down. I see right through you. I know what it means. I know I got you. That moment when you close your eyes.
Ryan Hurd in studio with us. Something right. So you said you wanted to turn the channel on song you wrote for Blake Shelton because you heard it so much on the radio. So when you hear your own stuff, you want to?
No, that's the rule now is no, you don't
touch
my
dial, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I just did it like as a reflex. I didn't like consciously do it. It just was like, I don't know. You know when you're just flipping through dials.
When I hear one of my commercials come on the radio, like a lot of listeners, I turn it down.
Yeah.
So I get it. I understand. But so yeah, to a T. People need to check it out.
Yeah, that's the song we just put out, and it's pretty exciting. I don't know. This is the kind of the biggest thing we've ever had is this song. So I put another song out earlier this year when I got married called Diamonds Are Twine. And
that was a great song.
Thank you. That was really fun to put out. So I've only put out two songs this year, but we'll put out a full album next year and work to a T at terrestrial radio. And so all that stuff's getting teed up. It's really fun.
That's awesome. Writing process. I'm always curious about the creative part of everything. Like what is your writing process like?
Well, I just finished. I had my last co-write of the day, like right before I got here.
Oh yeah.
The studio is like basically on Music Row. So
you've had like six tequilas.
No, I don't like to like drink or anything like that. Just sometimes it helps, but for the most part, it's just going to work. And, but you know, you start out with a title a lot of times and kind of work backwards from that. And the fun part about writing songs is it's different every day. Like, and I think another fun part about songs is just doing it in Nashville, just because this is like the best song town in the, what I think it's the best song town in the world. So, you know, getting to have like that community and have like those people, like it's such an inspiration to be around other songwriters here. And it is kind of amazing how many of those people are sports fans. So a lot of Georgia.
It is.
A lot of Georgia people.
So there are a lot of Georgia people.
A lot of Bulldogs writing songs in Nashville, Tennessee.
When you go in, let's say just maybe it's somebody you've written with before or you know, it could be somebody they go, hey, you've never written with her, but we're set up a session. You guys are going to write together. Do you try to go in with, okay, let me think. I'm going to take in a couple of ideas. Do you try to do that every time, or are there times you go in and go, hey, I got nothing. I just want to go in and see what we came up with.
Both of those things are true.
Okay.
But I write less now than I used to. Like, my schedule's a lot crazier, so I kind of, part of that is just it has to be that way. But also, like, I don't like to overload my, I like to just let it kind of be more natural.
Sure.
And less grinding on, like, ideas and stuff like that. But there's like, one year I wrote 220-something songs.
That is unbelievable.
And, yeah, that was, like, when I was learning how to do this, and I'm really glad that I did it. But now I'm writing way, way less than that. Just, and I feel fresher every time. I feel like I hit the bullseye more often.
Can you go back to some of those and be like,
yeah, oh, I mean, like, I got some really great songs that year. I had a lot of work, a lot of action. I was just writing songs for other people at that point. I hadn't, like, gotten a record deal or anything at that point. So I didn't even think about trying to be an artist. But now, you know, it just, the schedules necessitate much less of the actual creative part, which is kind of counterintuitive to what people think, but there's so much more promo that goes on and radio and,
right,
you know, just stuff that has nothing to do with writing or singing songs.
So. Ryan Hurd in studio with us, big Titans fan, Preds fan, all that. And you mentioned Diamonds Are Twine. JT, you got some of that? Just in case people are wondering, they'll know this one.
You know when you know, you hear that all you like. Well, whoever they are, turns out they were right. Sunshine, the good times, yeah, we got a few behind us. But when the bad times come, I ain't gonna run. It doesn't matter if it's diamonds or twine, I'll be wrapped around your finger. Girl, you got me till we run out of time. Hit your pole.
Such an awesome song. And you told me you wrote that for your wife, Maren Morris, that you didn't necessarily write it to release it, right?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't pitch it to any other artists, and kind of had in the back of my mind that we knew that it would be kind of for that, you know, for our wedding. And,
yeah.
But it was kind of fun because she knew the song, but she didn't know that we had, like, planned on releasing it, so it was kind of cool to tell her on, like, the Thursday before we got married.
Okay.
Hey, and here's another, you know, surprise. Like, we're gonna release this song, and you know, it was all just really fun, man.
See, a lot of guys, like, you know, they give a blender for,
right,
you know, like, a present.
I hope not.
My man's gonna release songs for his wife.
Write a hit song for you for our marriage celebration. This is a song I wrote for you that's a massive worldwide hit, but it's all about you, baby.
That's exactly right.
You haven't done that? You're a musician guy. What? I mean, you can write, like, this 8-minute bass song.
Yeah, well, yes. What is it like for
Funny,
you?
Let me play this.
Because when you write
I'm
song...
I'm going to dress like Flea and play this for you.
Well, I'd wear more than a sock. At my age, she doesn't want to see that at all. I mean, I might jump a giant sock for my whole body to cover myself, my white, pasty, old body. When you write a song and you... and okay, I'll let you finish.
You're going to go all serious. He's over here doubled over.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Continue.
Your songs are like your children.
And scene.
When you write your songs and then you hand it over to somebody else, are you interested to see how it turns out with the production and how they handle the melody and how they tweak this and that to put their own spin on it?
Yeah, I'm interested, but I have no control over it. Once it's out of our hands and somebody else has it and they record it, it's theirs and they have to make it their own. And it's just such an honor anytime someone records your song, because they could potentially sing it for the rest of their career. That, and, like,
yeah, put it on a
and
greatest
for the
hits.
Most part, if you're dealing with people like Lady Antebellum or Luke Bryan or, I don't know, Florida Georgia Line, it's going to sound like what they do,
like,
and it's
going
to sound cool. So, you know, I've been really lucky just to have a lot of those people gravitate toward what I do and have had success doing that. And it's, you know, they say this is a fun stat about, like, what just songwriter, like, how many songwriters there are and how lucky I feel to be a part of that group is, like, someone told me there's 35,000 paid professional baseball players in America and there's 3,500 paid professional songwriters. So
wow,
you put that into perspective, it's really, like, such a cool thing that this town has so many creative people, and that, like, songwriting is kind of where this industry starts. It's mm-hmm. like the, you know, just the idea of a song and then writing it and then having it demoed and then recorded by somebody else, and then it goes to the radio, and that process is kind of magic.
Vincent on Twitter, quote, "We're tequila people," end quote. I stand with at Ryan Hurd.
Thanks, Vincent.
V-Love 87, that's our guy. And next time we tailgate, we got to go over and see that dude. They massive over there. And he was one of the ringleaders in Kansas City that helped with that party over there. 615-737-1045. Ryan Hurd in studio. D'Angelo is in Franklin, Kentucky. What's up, D?
What's up? How you doing?
Good, man.
First of all, I want to say go Titans. Titans for life.
Yep.
Come Sunday, we're going to be in that wild card spot because Pittsburgh going to lose, so that's going to open up two spots for us when we win.
I like it, man. Yeah, Pittsburgh's got that. Thanks for listening, bro. Pittsburgh's got that weird tie situation thing, so they could lose the next two games, and the Titans, you know, we don't even have to look at Baltimore at that point, maybe. So we'll see. Great job, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Doherty, Mickey Ryan. Ryan Hurd sitting in for Dawn Davenport. She went to Sheeny?
Washington. Yep. It's cold. It's windy.
Sounds tropical.
The wild northwest. Babs is right now.
She said, actually, she did the math. She could get to the Caribbean faster than she could there. And I said, yeah. That's what you need to do, because she looked at the weather. It's going to be like 25 degrees with 20-mile-an-hour winds. And I said, visualization on the sideline. You just visualize that you're in the islands.
It is going to be, yeah, that sounds very cold. I'm from Michigan. I have such thin skin now.
Wait, what? Like,
yeah, I got down here and I was like, it was warm all the time. And now when I go back, it's freezing. I just can't take it anymore.
Do you know the Greta Van Fleet guys? They're from Frankenmuth, Michigan. You know where that is?
I know where Frankenmuth is, and I know who they are. They're a pretty awesome rock band.
Boy, those dudes, that is a heck of a racket they're making.
Yeah, it's like
that the guy you told me about that sounds like
Robert Plant?
Yeah, like New Led Zeppelin.
He's a tiny little dude who literally his mouth opens and just Mount Vesuvius erupts every time.
Frankenmuth is very famous for its Christmas village.
Okay.
Is that true? It sounds like a disease.
Absolutely.
Frankenmuth sounds like a drink. Like, my man was hammered. That dude drank the whole mini fridge full of Frankenmuth.
What's the island where everybody just rides bicycles?
Mackinac,
yeah.
How far is that?
I've never been. It's like 5 hours north of where I'm from. So Michigan's huge because of the Upper Peninsula. So
Did you live on the mitten?
Yeah.
The hand?
I grew up halfway between, I was born in Chicago, grew up halfway between Chicago and Detroit.
Okay.
So that's where I get down with Chicago. Yeah, we go back there a lot to play shows. I've gotten to know all the Cubs people.
Yeah. And have you ever had a beer in Wrigleyville?
I've had many. I've had too many beers in Wrigleyville. That's like maybe the most fun place you can ever.
It is.
Ever hang.
And everybody makes fun of me for suddenly becoming a Cubs fan. I'm like, well, I went to Wrigleyville. I mean,
yeah, I'm a Braves fan, and I just go to the Cubs games, honestly, now. That's what we do now in the summer. I don't go to Atlanta very much anymore.
It's fun.
You've also, something I'm jealous of as a Cubs fan, has taken BP and thrown behind the scenes at Wrigley.
That story is wild. So I got to know the Cubs guys because I was on tour with Florida Georgia Line, and they played.
They played there, yeah.
Wrigley.
Yeah.
And I wasn't on that show, but I was on the tour, so I just went to the show. And the promoter, Brian, was like, hey, is a huge Cubs fan. And he said, hey, do you want to get to know Jason McLeod, who was like basically under Theo? And it's like, yeah, I'd love to.
Nah, not really. I don't have
Jason's going to, he's like, Jason's going to give us a tour. He's going to take us through the clubhouse. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And so Jason McLeod takes me and Brian O'Connell under the stadium, through the dugout, through the clubhouse. And then he's like, do you want to take some BP in the tunnel? And I was like, absolutely, I do. And I went, and it was really fun. And I tried to hit, like, I was hitting right-handed because I'm right-handed, but I can switch hit. And so at the end of it, I was like, can I hit some left? And he kind of rolls his eyes. And I have no idea what came over me, but he threw a BP pitch, and I just unloaded on this ball. And it was, like, surprising to me. And his eyes kind of lit up, and he's like, whoa. And I was like, yeah, whoa. I didn't expect that. That was the best swing I've ever taken in my entire life. But if you're going to take the best swing of your entire life, it should probably be in the tunnel at Wrigley. So he said, me and him hit it off, and he's like, do you want to come back this summer and hit on the field? And I was like, absolutely, I do. So I got to hit on the field at Wrigley. Yeah. I go with Marin and my best friend from high school, who was the pitcher, Drew, played college baseball, huge Cubs fan, and brought him on the field, and we both got to hit BP. and I'm hitting, and it's hard to see the ball out of the pitcher's hand. Like, they're obviously a lot
because of the backdrop.
Yeah, because like you, no one has ever, like, unless you're a pro baseball player, no one's ever like had to like hit in a stadium like like that big, right? It's not something normal, so you can't see the you can't see the ball come out of his hand, and so I was just not like airball. Like the entire time.
You're just whiffing.
And so finally I start to make a little bit of contact and I'm wearing jeans and a Cubs jersey and I have long like Chris Stapleton hair and the Brewers are in right field and they start heckling me. And they're like, who the hell is 23 Hurd? And they start like they stopped throwing and they like put the baseball down and a whole team turns their attention to watch me suck at BP. And I got some to the outfield. Like, I hit one probably, like, 300 feet to center field. Like,
Holy crap.
Definitely an out. No, it was, like, kind of, it wasn't anything, like, it was not even to the warning track.
Dude, I did it at Greer before that place became a dump. Holy cow. We drove by there the other day. They need to do something with that place. But anyway, like, it was hard to get it to the outfield at first. But then I started to challenge myself. But I didn't hit one 300 feet, for crying out loud.
It's hard to hit with a wooden bat if you haven't hit
it. But doesn't it sound awesome?
When you connect, though, there's nothing like that feeling. You can't even feel the ball. So I love, that was one of the coolest days. We have some cool pictures, and Maren got all into it. And Maren loves, it's fun because she gets into sports when it's like super fun to get into sports. Like, she sang the national anthem at the Preds game during the playoffs last year, which
was, remember that?
You know, and she gets into it because I get into it. Like, I remember when we beat the Blackhawks 2 years ago started, you know, we had been together for about a year, and I like am like welling up at like we're gonna sweep the Blackhawks, and she's like, oh my gosh, he really cares about this. So she kind of got like a trial by fire with that one, and then like when they asked her to do the anthem, she's like, if, because you get like a suite and you get to bring all your friends, and it was really fun, and she's like, would you want to? I'll do this if you really want to make a night of it, and I was like, absolutely, I want to make a night of it. So it was really, really fun. But the Wrigley thing was like, I don't know, that's not something that people get to do. And so I don't take that for granted at all.
Please tell me you got some revenge on the Brewers somehow.
I don't know. They went pretty far into the playoffs. So
we need to do something.
I don't know. That was cool, though. It's kind of cool. If you're going to get heckled, it might as well be by a Major League Baseball player.
Country artist Ryan Hurd in studio talking sports and music. For those that don't know, Ryan is married to Maren Morris. So Maren, did she take some BP at Wrigley?
Absolutely not. She did not. But she has.
She had to take one swing. Come on, Maren.
No, she didn't care at all. But she has a jersey. She likes. You know, we've been given. Like, that's a cool thing too. I came over here because you got my Marcus jersey signed, which is like one of the coolest things ever. But that's one thing that's been really fun about the last couple of years is people give us jerseys all the time, and sometimes they have like our names on the back and stuff, and they're like,
you're a
the
massive
real
sports
deal.
Fan.
Yeah, and so they're all like hanging up in a closet right now because we don't exactly know what to do with them all, but that's been a really cool thing. And she has more than I do now.
Really?
She toured in South America, and they gave her, like, the soccer federation down there gave her a Brazil jersey with
Holy
her name
crap.
On the back. It was like, yeah, it's cool stuff. So we get to do a lot of fun stuff like that.
What's the favorite place for you, favorite venue that you've gotten to play so far?
Well, I love Joe's in Chicago on Weed Street. Just one of, like, it wins like ACM awards for how well they treat people. But I'm playing the Troubadour in LA.
Wow.
In January, and I'm pretty psyched about that. Like, that one's going to be really, really special. And that sold out, and I never really imagined having like sold out shows of my own, but like to have it in Los Angeles and that, like, that iconic venue, like that's the one I'm most looking forward to.
How much do you like playing here when you get a chance to play in your own city now?
You know, we don't play here that much.
Right.
Like, no one really does.
No one really does. Yeah.
And it's not because, it's because it becomes like such an event. Like, when you play in Nashville, it's not just playing Nashville. Like, your whole label comes, all the people that work with you come, your family
Brett
wants
Mickey
to come.
Brett and Mickey wants tickets.
Yeah, we're asking
Brett
questions.
Brett and Mickey. Yeah.
We're offering to Roadie.
We'll see what we can do. Yeah, you can push some boxes, man. That's probably the best way to get in.
I can do that. I'm little, but I'm wiring.
It'll be like fun. But yeah, it's fun to play Nashville. It's just there's a lot more that goes into it that people don't really realize. But the cool part about Nashville is, like, people will travel to see their favorite artists here. Like, so that's why the Ryman sells out so much. And
so
why,
like, a healthy percentage of the audience is not from here.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that is, like, I think real. That's the one of the more special things about playing here is, like, you go to Ascend, and a lot of those shows sell out because it's people traveling to see, especially country shows, are traveling from the town to come here to see those artists. And there's so much, you know, country music stuff to do in Nashville, but, like, when like I have, we're playing a smaller venue and we were thinking about doing more shows and it didn't work out. But, you know, a lot of people that got tickets are going to like come in for that show. And that's just one of the cool things we have here that I don't think a lot of other towns have.
What's your favorite song that you wrote that someone else recorded?
I wrote a song for Dierks Bentley called I'll Be the Moon.
Yeah.
It never went on the radio. And Maren ends up, it actually is the feature on it. And just by chance, like I wrote it, Dierks got it, decided this could be a cool duet, and then happened to reach out to Maren to sing it. So that one was really special because awesome. It's not the type of song that generally gets recorded in Nashville. It's a little bit like left of center. And so when you write something that you're really proud of and it stands on its own and nobody heard that song was like, that sounds like a hit. It just, for me, is one of the best songs I've ever written. And to have a guy like that record it and then have Maren a part of it, like that I think is my favorite song that I've written. But all of them are special. Like that's the thing, that if someone else records it, like I said it earlier, it's an honor anytime someone records your song, just because they could potentially sing it for the rest of their career. So, but that one is really special.
Ryan Hurd in studio. Let's talk some sports when we come back.
You can leave me in the dark if that's all I get from you. He can be the sun, I'll be the moon. Yeah, he can be the sun, I'll be the moon.
This is the song you were talking about.
Yeah, it's real hype music. It's really cool to just, I don't know, hear her. That's Dierks Bentley. That doesn't get old.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, that never gets old.
Well, and she's got an okay voice, you know.
Yeah, she's
okay.
It's amazing that she can belt it out the way that she does, because like when I met her, like she's like tiny.
Very small.
Yeah.
5'1", and I'm 6'3", so we get that a lot. People saying that I'm tall and whatever. But
who was the first person to cut one of your songs, and what was that phone call like?
Jake Owen.
He was the first one to record one of your cuts.
Yeah. We were heading down to the beach, me and a couple buddies, to write songs for the weekend, and they called and said Jake just recorded it, and we drank a lot of beers. I mean, there's nothing there. We just kind of flipped out. It was awesome.
Jake also has been on 3HL.
Yeah. He's the man.
He is the man. He was playing golf out at the National Golf Open.
Yeah, he's one of the most, he's the guy more than anybody when I was like thinking about starting to do my own project that encouraged me to take a shot at it. So
really?
Yeah, he's been a huge support for me.
So behind me and Mickey and Don, you know, everything to Jake Owen.
Yeah. After you guys, it's Jake. Yeah.
Ryan Hurd in studio. So what do you think, man? Titans Giants coming up this weekend, and must win situation, 4-way tie for the last playoff spot.
Can they
get it done?
Well, I hope so, but you got to win all three of them and leave no doubt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If they lose one, there's no way. So, but the nice part is the schedule kind of opened up for them. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see him play Saquon, just to see if they can bottle that guy up.
Yeah, we talked to Kevin Byard the other day, and he's looking forward to it. Like, they're confident about it, and that guy has reeled off 1,100 yards.
Going to be the team in receptions, too. I mean,
yeah,
he's a fantastic player.
And the thing about him is, and you know this, like, he's always looking for that home run ball. He's always looking for that long run. He finds it a lot.
Yeah, and the one, I guess, the hard part about the end of this schedule is that you're playing against teams that have literally nothing to lose, back against the wall, and then could come into the same situation with the Colts. But if you're going into the last weekend with an opportunity to win and move on, I mean, I think both teams are going to – that's basically a playoff game with the Colts. So,
growing up in Michigan, were you – you said you lived between Chicago and Detroit. Were you a Lions fan, Bears fan? Where did you identify with most?
My family, they're all Bears fans.
Okay.
And all my buddies were Lions fans.
Oh, man.
So when I got down here, I just immediately was like, all Preds, all Titans. So just nice to have a hometown team.
Yeah.
Instead of being split between Chicago and Detroit.
We got to do the Chicago thing. When is that?
You guys can what if you guys broadcast from the show? Right.
We're down with that. You know somebody with Ryan Hurd's organization who can make something like that happen?
I do. His name's Ryan Hurd.
I'm looking for that right now. The Exit In show is sold out, right?
It is. February, we'll do another 28th. One in the fall, though.
Okay.
Have you played Exit In before?
I have opened there one time.
I got to play there a couple times. The old Billy Block show, I got to play, and he was so cool.
Oh, that was an amazing dude.
It was really neat to say that I got to play one of those shows, and I've been to a bunch of shows there. I guess I've played there twice, maybe, and I've seen a bunch of shows. You go in there, that's one of those places you can feel the history. It's amazing how it feels to stand on that stage.
Right. And there's two, like, obviously the Basement East on the other side of town is also like a similar sized venue, and it's an amazing spot, and it's so fun to play there. But we wanted kind of to play the exit in this time just for that reason. You're kind of we play in Bowery Ballroom in New York City and then Troubadour in LA, and these are all like very iconic rooms, and so it felt right to play that room here. And it looks like it's very cool to sell it out. I wish that we maybe would have thought about that ahead of time, but it's nobody expects to sell out their shows until it actually happens. But this is such a great music town, and that's probably the most important rock club here that has ever been. So it's really a special thing.
Agreed. Ryan Hurd, country music songwriter, recording artist, with us in studio. Yeah, the Chicago show is Saturday, February 23rd. Mickey, at 8:30. It's at Joe's on Weed Street.
Never played Joe's.
On Weed Street?
Never played on Weed Street.
It's in Lincoln Park. It's not like, there's nothing like sketchy about it.
UNT is the single out now. So Preds tonight, I know you love going over there.
Preds tonight, yeah.
Kyle Turris may be back.
There you go. We got no players, but we're still going to go watch them.
Who's your favorite Preds player? Who do you like?
Forsberg.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Everybody likes the scorer. And Pekka, too. I mean, but that's just, I never thought that Pekka was going to be the guy that made it through, like, the Suter-Weber-Pekka drama, but he did. So,
and just
obviously, you have to love that dude because he's, like, the foundation for the whole team, but every time Forsberg touches the puck, you get excited. So
the other thing, too, about him is if there's a scrum and he's involved, if you look at his face, he's always smiling. And if I was the other guy and I want to be mad, like I'm want to be mad guy, and here's this guy who just scored a behind-the-back goal or something, he's smiling at you while you've got your hand trying to give him the business. To me, that's Forsberg's greatest attribute, is that never stop smiling no matter what's going on deal.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. I call my brother. My brother has season tickets, and so I think they're going tonight, too. And He lives in Nashville. My whole family lives in Nashville now. But every day after a game, when I'm going into work is not when he's going. He's already at work and has been there for a little bit. But we always call like after the game and talk about it. But a lot of it's been about how we don't have any players at the moment. But it's been cool to see him like string a couple together and grind a couple out.
Speaking of Pecorino, David Poile on the Midday 180 today talking about Pekka.
He's in a really good place. Obviously the oldest player on the team, but he has that way about him, maturity. Every day seems to be a good day for him. He's well balanced. I heard in his interview after the game, he kind of just made fun of himself, saying, "I'm sorry, wasn't that a terrible goal I let in at the beginning of the game?" And then, but after that, he said the game was pretty good. I mean, he's really in a good place. He's got a good good way about him. I can't tell you how much it means to have confidence in your goaltending. When you look around the league and teams that are, say, near the bottom of the league, I guarantee you their coach or general manager is saying that if we had better goaltending, we wouldn't be in this situation. And I think, when Peck is playing, we got a chance to win every night.
So good. Congrats to David Poile, too.
Yeah, U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer. Pekka's that rare guy, and I know we've got Cubs fans all in the building here, but Yadier Molina of the Cardinals, where every year it's like, okay, they've got his backup now, his replacement playing, and he just keeps outplaying his replacements, continues to play at such a high level, even into his mid-30s. Pekka's been that same way. He's just as good or even playing slightly better now than last year when he won the Vezina Trophy.
Yeah, he's never played this good.
How in the world do you get that much better as a professional athlete, as you get older? Wesley Woodyard of the Titans, it's the same way. It's like he's Benjamin Button or something over there.
We were aging in reverse. We were talking about Marcus Mariota, and Ryan's a big fan. When we come back, Spotrac estimated upcoming quarterback contract values. So we've been talking a lot about Marcus Mariota, and this is a big offseason for him. How much is he going to get? How many years is he going to get? Should they sign him long-term? All of those things. Spotrac estimated what he was worth, so we'll run that by you. Also, Jameis Winston and seven other young quarterbacks. We'll do that when we come back. Visiting with Ryan Hurd in studio, Brent Doherty, Mickey Ryan, JT Productions here as well. Dawn has the day off.
Found love in a bar in the back.
Rodgers. Oh, Ryan Hurd in studio.
I have to listen to all these songs again because I was in rehearsal the other day and I couldn't remember any of the words.
Uh-oh.
So I haven't played in a while. JT knows them all, man. Thank you.
I love the EP that you put out in 2017. And it was interesting to me because the stuff that you've had cut, like the Lady A cut, there were horns on the song.
Sure.
And so they took horns on tour, and our buddy Dennis, who's the bass player, he invited us to come down and see a tour rehearsal, which my dream was to be on tour with, you know, Scorpions or somebody.
Yeah.
So to see them, and he goes, we added these guys that play horns, and it was for the song that Ryan wrote.
That was awesome.
And oh my gosh, that was just such a cool version.
Very cool.
Of that song. So,
yeah, that was like, when that one came out, it kind of shocked some people that they would roll with a horn section like that. But nobody else did it.
No.
It's pretty cool.
And sometimes with country, somebody will cut a song and it'll get an award and they'll stamp on the stage and they'll say, you know, they told us you couldn't put a harmonica in a country song in 2016 and we did it, by God. You know, there's always somebody who has this story. They told us you couldn't, you know, plug in a washer and kick it and use that sound in your song. And we did.
Well, yeah, that hasn't happened to me yet, but
you need to do something unconventional. When it's a hit, you can say, they told me you couldn't do this, and I did.
My stuff's all darker than the stuff that's been cut. Like that EP and whatever, the stuff that I naturally did as an artist was a little whatever. It was nice to get some lightness in the music.
It was all the tequila you drink.
It wasn't super country, though. The EP was more just music.
I just love rock and roll, man.
Yeah.
And I love, you know, the way that we write lyrics in Nashville, so it's fun to, like, add a lot of those elements to what I do.
Who were the, like, when you were growing up and you were listening to music, who were your go-tos? What did you like?
Well, I loved, like, Jimmy Eat World and Wilco and, like, indie bands like that, and I loved, I honestly loved country music growing up, like, listening to the radio. Alan Jackson and Brad Paisley were huge when I was, mm-hmm. like, in high school, and I loved, man, Ryan Adams. I love Willie Nelson, though. That's, like, nobody emotes, like, vocally like that dude.
Did Willie Nelson ever play at Weed Street?
I don't think so. I don't think it was around when he was kicking it in Thousand Seaters. So, but Maren opened up for him one day, and it was one of the strangest and most amazing shows that I've ever seen. I said, hey, can I get a set list? And our tour manager, Jennifer, is like, yeah, I'll go get Willie's set list at the end of the show. And she comes back, and she goes, this is all it is. And it just is a big white piece of paper that says 75 minutes. And he doesn't have... So he gets off the bus, looks down, sees 75 minutes on a piece of paper, and there's a stopwatch. It counts down
right
from 75 minutes, and he got it. He walked off the stage at zero and got on the bus, and the bus started rolling before that the band stopped playing that song. It's called an Elvis, is what they call it. It's when you leave before like everybody else, and that was like the most incredible Elvis I've ever seen, was Willie Nelson, his bus moving while his band's still playing the outro.
Fantastic.
Oh, it was so cool.
Was he wearing a cape?
Oh, man.
You should wear a cape. That would be my advice to you, is you should start wearing a cape.
I used to have my guitar player on the left side play in a cape. Some fan gave him a cape one day, and he's like, should I wear this? And I was like, absolutely, yes. You should. When someone gives you a cape, you thank them by wearing it on stage.
That's the universe telling you, you should wear a cape.
If somebody gave me a cape, I would wear it every day, I think.
Guess what you're getting for Christmas?
I love it. Ryan Hurd visiting with us in studio, country music songwriter and an artist. So you're a big Marcus Mariota guy. So you would sign him long term?
I would. Where would they be without him? That's what I always come back to. Like, dude's a gamer. I know he gets hurt, but I don't know. If I got hit one time in the NFL, I'd go home. So I'd quit. So I don't know. I think he's tough. I think he's the best quarterback that we've had since McNair, and I don't know. I love watching him play, so I'd be really sad if they didn't.
He's such a good dude, too, man.
Yeah.
Want nothing but the best for him. Spotrac.com, they do contracts. So if you ever want to know when a guy's contract is up, how much it'll count against the cap, all of those weird, nerdy numbers that we all like, you can go there. They estimate Patrick Mahomes at 4 years, $134.5 million, average of $33.6 million. He is currently making $4.1 million through 2020. The team option is 2021. He is the 37th highest paid quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Isn't that amazing?
That is...
those rookie deals, man, they get you. So when they hit on it, it's good. Carson Wentz, next 5 years, $154 million, average 6.7. He is currently the 27th highest paid quarterback. Got some back issues, though, maybe done, right?
Yeah, there were reports the season that he had a cracked vertebrae and wasn't told something like that that came out earlier from one of their beat writers up there.
And then it said this other people in the build, like other players
other
knew?
People knew, but he didn't know.
Right.
Yeah, that's,
I was trying to get, I didn't really understand what was happening in that, but it was confusing, but it sounds like quite a mess.
Next year is his last year, team option 2020. Jared Goff, then 5 years, $153.8 million. His value, average of 30.7. Right now, he's getting 6.9 per. Jared Goff, 26th highest paid quarterback. Then Russell Wilson, first old head. 6 years, $180 million, average of 30.05. He's averaging $21.9 million now. He is the 11th highest paid quarterback. Next year is his last, then he is an unrestricted free agent. So if they don't get him locked in, then he can hit the market. Then Deshaun Watson, worth 6 years, $156.4 on his next deal currently. He's averaging $3.5 million. He is the 39th highest paid quarterback. He is signed through 2020, the team option. They have the option in 2021. Dak Prescott, 5 years, $121. When I get to what he's making now, it's going to blow your mind. 5 years, $121.4 million is what they view him being worth when his deal comes up. Average of $24.3 million per. So Dak Prescott is the 69th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. He makes $680,000 this year.
Otherwise known as not a first-round draft pick.
That is incredible. He'll make about $800,000 next year. And then the
there are bags of kicking tees that make more money than that.
And then the team option for 2020, so we'll see what happens there. Then we come to Marcus Mariota. So Marcus Mariota, when his deal comes up, next time when he signs his contract, they view his worth at 5 years, $114.5 million. That's an average of $22.9 million. He's making $6.01 on average in this deal. He's making a little more than that this year and will certainly make more than that next year. Number 29th highest paid quarterback in the league. Under contract through next year. So this is the offseason where they will get this done, and that's where Spotrac has his numbers. Average of $22.9 million. I would do that, I think. After all this talk about Marcus and consistency and whether or not you sign him long term, I think 5 years at $22.9 million per seems about right. Mickey?
The five is an interesting number for me. He's still a young guy. If I'm just guessing, if I'm putting together a list like this and I'm just trying to project, wouldn't be surprised if it were four instead of five. But if you feel like you've got your guy and you feel like he's your guy, 5 years. But the Jameis Winston one to me in this group was the most eye-popping one by far.
Yeah, so if you don't know about your guy, then you do the three-year deal. So that's where they have him. Jameis Winston, 3 years, $67.2 million. So right at that Marcus number of 22.4. He is the 28th highest paid quarterback, $20.9 million next year. That's what Marcus will make as well in the team option year. So I don't know. What would you do with Jameis?
Would you do that deal? I'd let him. See you later, man. He's not worth it. Well, just a headache.
We were talking about just him fighting with one of his linemen. He's capable of brilliant play, but he's also capable of amazing knuckleheadedness.
Right. It's not like he gets in trouble doing like ordinary things either. It's like bizarre stuff, like stealing crab legs or whatever it is.
And if you're even considering Ryan Fitzpatrick being better than him, then that's kind of your answer, right? Like, if that's even a discussion in the room, like,
I mean,
maybe we should put Fitz in. That's when you're like, that we don't have a guy.
Right. He was benched for Fitz earlier,
and that's was exactly healthy, right. And still Fitzpatrick play.
So I agree. Once you get to that point,
then draft one in the first round.
We benched Fitz, and we benched him in favor of Fitz, our first round draft pick quarterback. When we've got to be figuring out who he is, we still benched him. Yeah. So one thing that the Buccaneers, though, could have is a new coaching staff. And another coaching staff could come in and just blow it out. Say, he's not our guy. We don't want anything to do with him. But the crazy thing about him is when he came into the league, He came from a pro-style offense at Florida State, which most of these guys come from spread offenses, and they've never even been in a huddle. And he was in a huddle running a pro-style offense. And the story about him watching tape and all that is legendary, that he's a great student of the game. He can make every throw. He's not a great runner like Marcus, but he's an effective runner. He's more like a Roethlisberger, where he's just a big guy that kind of rumbles around and one guy can't bring him down. So there's a lot of great things about the football part of him, but you just watch what happens around him, and it seems like a flammable situation a lot of the times. And that can't be your quarterback.
So what would you do if you were John Robinson? Would you sign Marcus Mariota a 5-year deal, 3-year deal? Just let him ride it out, play next year, and then see what happens. Maybe move on. Maybe at that point sign him. He would hold all the cards at that point. What do you think? 615-737-1045 is the number. 615-737-1045 at 3HL1045. Jeff on Twitter, enjoying Ryan on the show. I did see Shooter Jennings at Joe's on Weed Street. Street name took on a whole new meaning.
Nice.
Balls to the wall. Dude, glad you stopped in on 3HL. Big fan of you and Marin. Didn't know you were a big sports guy. Actually had real talent. Great. Listen, keep killing it. He said he went to school with Shooter Jennings growing up. Man,
Shooter. Okay. Shooter Jennings making multiple appearances today.
That's really funny.
That's not a bad day.
Yeah.
That guy was like a pretty legendary dude on Music Row. He was like the first outlaw that was, when I started doing this, was Shooter, as far as like him and Jamie Johnson were kind of the dudes who were doing it a little bit like left of center. And
yeah.
And like kind of, we don't get those stories anymore. Like what those like police escorts to deliver your album to the label and stuff like that. We don't have
Ice Cube and Eazy-E back in the day.
Yeah, if I was like I got a police escort to deliver my album to the label, everyone would look at me like I was just completely lost my mind.
And I'll get out of the car with a cape on.
In no way am I cool enough to do that.
Maybe just like some security guards or something from the mall.
No one would. Yeah, they'd look at me. That would be even weirder. That's what the kids call a weird flex.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not lit.
Ryan walking in full security to deliver a CD.
That's the next song, Weird Flex.
I don't think
that. 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Ryan Herr with us in studio. Did you write this one too?
Fastball.
I can't take credit for this one.
I said fastball.
Smash mouth. I can't claim this one.
Nashville's one of those towns. One night, my buddy goes, let's go to the End, which is across the street from the Exit Inn.
What a great club.
And I played the End when it opened several times. So we go down there, and I said, well, we're not playing. I know that. So who is? He goes, just come with me. So we go in there. It's packed. It's in the summertime. It's really hot. It's about 100 degrees in there. Out walks in a red leather.
That club was so great. The dude who did sound there passed away, I believe, but he was just the... He's kind of cranky, but the drums in there sounded better than anywhere else in Nashville. And all it was there was kick and there was snare and then a SM58, which is like a regular like looking microphone
with
a cable.
Which is literally the greatest microphone ever made.
Yeah, just hanging from the ceiling. And that was the drums. And it sounded awesome in there. I love seeing shows at the End.
So we're sitting there and this guy's next to me the whole time and I'm talking to him. And, you know, we kind of go out after the show and it was so hot. And my friend goes, Mickey, you know this guy? I said, no, I shook his hand. And he goes, he's a bass player too. And he said that to me about the other guy. I go, oh, really? Who do you play bass for? He's like, fastball. I was like, oh.
That's fun.
Hey, man, y'all got a good record out. Yeah, and this was at the zenith of fastball.
That's fun.
But this town's just like that.
It really is.
You just don't know who's standing next to you anywhere you go.
It's very funny. I don't, not only is it that sort of thing, but at this point, I've been here, I guess, long enough that I don't go anywhere without at least recognizing a face. I mean, like, oh, that's so-and-so. I went to college with her. Oh, that's so-and-so. I know someone everywhere I go now.
Like Becky from sales popped up there, and you're like, I've met you somewhere.
I did. I met her, I think, at like a remote or something one time that I came to, and it was like, I think Clay was still on the show because I remember people coming up to him. But yeah, I met Becky before and whatever. This is just a great town to live in. I think we'd live here even if we didn't do music.
So you went to Belmont. How long have you been in Nashville now?
9 years total. 9 years. Full time. Okay. Yeah. Plus some Belmont time.
I was watching, the CMAs, I guess, and Casey Musgraves won. Mm-hmm. And she said, this is really weird, but I moved to Nashville 10 years ago today.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
It is. Yeah. She's obviously an incredible artist. And, but there's all those, like when Marin won hers, she said, when she gets up and she's like, last year I watched this show in the bar across the street.
So I remember her saying that. Yeah,
we did. We watched it in the bar across the street, and then the next year she's walking on stage. So there's all those stories are so cool, and that's like the reason that people come here is that dream. And
how easy is it to deal with that? Like how challenging was that for her and for you to deal with how fast that happened?
And there's some adjustment, but yeah. I don't know. For me, I've definitely like failed in public before, and with people who just want to get a photo, and mostly with her. Like mostly, I'm Mr. Morris. Generally, I mean, honestly, to most people, I'm just that's who I am to them. But for the most part, people are really nice, man. And you know, have you ever watched Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
Yeah.
We were watching that show, and it was the Zach Galifianakis one. And Zach was asking Jerry, like, what do you do when people, like, always want to take your picture in public? Jerry's like, and he's like, doesn't that bother you? And Jerry's like, no, I'm in public.
Right.
And Zach's like, well, it bothers me. And he goes, why? You chose this job. And so when we saw that, we kind of both smiled and we're like, we need to be more like Jerry and be more like Jerry. And we also went and saw Taylor Swift this year and met her. And the way that she treats people is pretty inspiring. She does a meet and greet after her show. It's a 2.5 hour show, and then she at midnight has 20 fans come back. Holy and they do cow. Another meet and greet.
Right.
So
wow.
Seeing like people who are at that level like just be so relaxed about who they are. I mean, these are just people, you know what I mean? And you know, so there's an adjustment there, but this is a great town to actually be in a relatively notable person in, because people generally leave you alone.
Yeah.
You kind of know where to stay away from.
Like, unless you walk down our hall and then we pull you in for an hour and a half to talk sports talk.
That's okay. This is kind of a dream come true. I've listened to this show since you guys started it. So that's pretty wild to get to actually be on the air.
We start year 10, the middle of January.
Yeah. I've been here that long.
Wow.
So
you are the man. Yeah. You mentioned Jerry Seinfeld, which I don't know if people notice, but I typically throw like a Seinfeld reference a day. But last night, I saw this come across my Twitter feed. This is kind of old, but it's interesting. Like Larry King interviewing Jerry Seinfeld, and he didn't know that Seinfeld, the show, didn't get canceled. And so it turns into this awkward thing.
Yeah, I saw
thing.
That.
Yeah, listen to this.
Lasted how long?
9 years. 180 episodes.
Oh, you gave it up, right?
9 years?
I did. So.
They didn't cancel you. You canceled them.
You're not aware of this? You think I got canceled? Are you under the impression that I got canceled?
You? Have I hurt you, Jerry?
I thought that was pretty well documented. Is this still CNN?
Down. Don't most shows go down a little?
Most people do also. Yeah, no, I went off the air. I was the number one show on television, Larry.
You were
do you know who I am?
Jewish guy.
He's Brooklyn. Not kidding.
Yes.
Okay.
75 million viewers last episode.
What? Don't take it so bad.
Well, that's a big difference between being canceled and being number one.
Okay, I'm sorry. We'll be right back.
Jeez. Oh.
B-movie opens.
That's painful. I've walked into radio interviews where the person looks at me and goes, who are you? So I can kind of feel, and he's Jerry Seinfeld. It hurts. It even hurts when you're Jerry. That's crazy.
Well, you're a pretty cool dude is who you are.
We would never ask who you were. We know.
To a T, the new song. At RyanHurd.com, people can check out everything there, right?
Yeah, I haven't been there in a while, but I think that it's got all the information.
When are you going to have some new stuff drop?
You know what? We're working on finishing up our album, and then To a T goes to radio this next quarter. So we're working on... Ooh. New shirts.
You can buy new shirts.
Hey, I haven't seen this on a computer. This looks great.
What did you see?
My website. I'm sorry, man. Things started working out way better for me when I decided I was a very bad manager of Ryan Hurd. Okay. So I kind of let a lot of the details
go to someone else.
Let our manager handle all of that. So
looks like it's turned out well.
Janet, this looks awesome.
Yeah, RyanHurd.com. You can check out the new song To a T. Yeah.
Shout out Nikki. Shout out Chad.
There's the tour. Look at that. Meet and greet sign up.
That's nice.
Oh man. I don't know if we're doing that. Oh, I guess we are. I guess we're doing meet and greet.
It's on the website. You know what's happening.
You got videos on here?
All my Instagram feed is cool. Yeah. All right.
Look, there's Stormy Warren.
Nobody. I'm sorry. This is terrible radio. And
no,
I'm
this
contributing
is outstanding.
To it.
And there's your bio. Check that out.
What? We should have read that before today.
No, oh, we know, man. Ryan.
Well, hey, thank you guys for having me on, though.
Yeah. Hey, thanks
like
for coming in.
An unexpected treat. I was just coming by to pick something up, and you guys were very nice to let me talk on your show.
Well, we knew Babs would be pissed off that she wasn't here when you were here, so that's ultimately why we put you on.
Mission accomplished.
Well, I will be here whenever you let me. So
okay.
Just, yeah, next time she's here, we can do a makeup date.
All right. Go to RyanHurd.com and do it twice, and then you'll be there one more time than Ryan.
Yep.
At Ryan Hurd on Twitter. Good to see you, bro. Congrats on all the success, man. Good luck.
Yeah. Go Preds, go Titans.
All right. Scott Ramsey.